World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Wednesday morning here, folks. It is the what? It is the 18th of April, 2018. Lord isn't making another one. Thanks for joining us here on Pass the Salt, the guys in the huddle and the crew, all of you out there in Ether Land or wherever, Ether Zone, whatever that is out there that are listening to us today. We appreciate it. Now, Russ Dizdar joining us. I should have given you guys a heads up that he was coming in, but he's in here live and well this morning. And before Russ comes on the show, I just want to touch base with a couple of things. Number one, there are a few tickets left for the Occupy 2018, but sales are starting to pick up here towards the end. Everybody's last minute. So I'm going to tell you that you can get a ticket. We have tickets left, but we don't have the hotel where we're holding. It's not open. So you got to find another. There's a lot of hotels around the area. So, find your own housing, lodging as well. Yes, you can buy them at the door as long as we don't sell out. So if you're really worried about it, you come in driving a couple hours, you don't want to get there and be locked out of it, you probably ought to get it online. But it doesn't matter. You can show up Saturday morning. It still holds if you bring your pastor. We're going to let him in free because we believe pastors need to know this stuff. We think this is going to be like a conference like no other conference in that we're not just doing prophetic stuff. We'll have Russ in there talking about the MK Ultras and all the stuff that Russ does so well with. And we'll have LA and we'll have Pastor Paul Begley and we'll have all your favorites there. But we're flavoring this with some people that David Arthur is going to blow you away on what's going on with the LGBTQ. What's going on with that? Really, what's behind the scenes? John Robertson is going to talk about what's going on in Hollywood. We got Doug and Joe Hagman that are going to be there. We got Bill Federer is going to talk from a historical standpoint, how we got in this mess. Tom Dunn's going to talk about documentaries that he's making. David Heavener. I mean, this is, and the theme of it is Occupy. Occupy. So if you're one of those who wants to get into the game, well, you got to come where the game's being played. We think this is going to be a little bit different because it's not just going to be sit there and take notes and then go home and read the notes. We're going to try to equip you, train you, equip you to advance the kingdom of God. So all that information can be found at Occupy2018.com. Register online. I don't know what other questions you might have. But we're excited. We're excited. Did I freeze up? I look like, am I okay? Because I'm frozen up on my own screen here, fellas. Okay, good. Because that's really, really distracting. And I'm going to say it again. Bring your pastor for free. If there's any way you can hog tie him and get him here, please do that. Because until we begin to, until our pulpits begin to talk about some of this stuff that Russ is going to talk about, child trafficking, until our pulpits begin to talk about it, most of the Christians are going to be in the dark. And we're told in the scriptures not to be ignorant of his devices. And we certainly are very, very ignorant. Now I'm back on. I was kind of distracted because I just had a green screen. So bring your pastor. It's free. You hear that? F-R-E-E. What was that commercial I used to do a long time ago? F-R-E-E, that spells free. See, amazing how those jingles go out of your head all of a sudden. Right now, tell your friends, call your friends, say, listen, Coach has got this crazy guy from Akron on, Russ Dizdar. This is, our event's going to be held right in Russ's backyard. I got so much stuff I want to talk about today, folks. So much stuff. But Russ, before we get going, I want people just to see this. Jared, if you would, I gave you the link there, Jared, on MK Ultra. Because we started hearing about MK Ultra, which is one of the things Russ is going to talk about. Hey, Russ, yesterday we had a video from the SGT report that was really, really chilling about organ harvesting of young children in, was it Turkey, guys? I can't remember where it was. It was very, very chilling. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to believe that this stuff's going on. We don't want to believe a lot of this stuff. We don't want to believe the pedophilia is going on. We just refuse to want to believe it. We want to pull the covers up over our head and sit on the couch and act like it's not going on. And I just want, from a credibility standpoint, guys, this website is not Christian in any way. This is lourockwell.com. And Lou Rock, it's a libertarian. At lourockwell.com, look what she puts up here today. MK Ultra survivor shares how her multiple personalities were used by the global elite. Now, this ain't tinfoil hat stuff, okay? You with me? So the stuff that Russ is going to talk to us about here, there's all kinds of evidence. If you want to look and see what's going on, there is all kinds of evidence that it is happening. And then this whole, as much as we don't want to believe this, the whole pedophile, you can take that down now, Jared. There's a lot of good information. I'm just trying to show people that this stuff really, really is going on. And the pedophilia and the human trafficking and, I mean, baby, it is right on top of us. So, Russ, if you can, take us down this rabbit hole a little bit, Russ. Let's start right here, Russ, because I think we have some people who listen who maybe aren't real deep Bible scholars. And so when I heard somebody making fun of the other day about L.A. Marzulli and Giants. They were laughing about Giants, you know, the Nephilim, and, oh, come on. And you know how the whole story goes, right? And so, therefore, one of the greatest Saul Alinsky tactics was ridicule, right? If you don't believe something, you ridicule it.
Yeah.
And we all fall into that trap. But, Russ, without getting into the deep, deep spiritual New World Order aspect of it, just crack this open to us, Russ. This is really cool. This child trafficking, this MK Ultra, this brainwashing, this stuff's really going on, isn't it, Russ?
Thanks for being with us. Hey, good to be here, Coach. Good to be with you. Gonna see you in a few days here. It's gonna be great.
Yes, sir. Yep.
This weekend, by the way, I think, it's just gonna be great overall. And you're right, I think it's gonna be historic. It's gonna be, there's gonna be no other one like it. So, we want everybody to be here. Just Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that's just, listen, that, just pray about it and ask the Lord to open doors for you to come. That's what you gotta do. As far as, MK Ultra, that is one of the terms used, meaning, from the German, meaning just simply mind control. And of course, it comes from the Nazis, and it comes here. But here's the issue. The biggest issue is, where did they all come from? Why are there so many victims? Why do we have well over 10 million in the United States? So if you have somebody that's got mind control, split personalities, you know, inside, programmed personalities inside, who did this? That's the big question. I've been working with these individuals for over 35 years. We have volatile cases around us right now. We've plucked one individual, I want to say it that way, from your area. So listen, that doesn't make any difference where we go. Whatever city we go to, every single city, every single state has SRA, meaning satanic ritually abused, meaning that's what they use to help create subpersonalities, trauma.
Great, Russ. First of all, Satan is real. We need to start at step one, right? Satan is real, and he's not just a guy with a red suit on and a pitchfork and horns.
There's no fall of the human race without him. I mean, that's who was in the garden. We didn't just jump up one day in sin and say, hey, God, we don't want you anymore. There was a supernatural outside entity engaging us, Genesis 3. So to make fun of Satan, to mock any concept of the supernatural, especially from a believer standpoint, they need to get their heads straightened out. I mean, from beginning to end, Jesus engages Satan. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Look at Satan entering into Judas to betray the Son of God. Look at the church is going to be launched out. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Your warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. So to negate that is to be, I mean, just simply to be willfully ignorant of Scripture. You can't know Scripture. You can't be saved. That's why we're saved. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work, 1 John 3:8. So anybody believing the word of God's got to begin with that. And you can't let the culture dumb you down. That's part of the problem the last 40 years is that many of the pastors and theologians and so forth, because the culture became, quote, intellectual, meaning, you know, mock God, don't believe in God, you know, live a whole other world. I understand that. I mean, that's the world. But we're not to be dumbed down by that. We're not to be letting the world enculturate or dumb down our speech, our preaching, our walk, and what we believe. They're in big enough trouble, and we've got to get the gospel to them. But Satan is not only just real. This massive global collective concerning demons and the fallen ones, it's all biblically real. It's all true. And prophecy, Dave, tells us more of their presence, more of their power will be here in the end of days than in the collective history of humanity. So we're going to have it all over the place. That's why Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on them. That's why we're commanded to put on the armor of God. That's why we're to be alert and sober-minded, because your enemy, the devil, I mean, that's just 1 Peter. This is all basics. We should know this the first 6 months into being a believer. Otherwise, you got believers getting defeated and needing counseling, and counseling is not what stops spiritual warfare. Our shield of faith, our authority, and quoting the word of God and knowing it is where our victories lie.
Okay, Russ, so give us Christianity 102 then. How does the demonic realm work? Let's say from a network standpoint, how does that work? What is the authoritarian structure of the demonic world that we're wrestling against?
Sure, and this is important to understand. They're more organized in ranks and system-wise. They're more organized by design than any military system, any intelligence agency, any government. If we would take the biblical picture, looking at Scripture, and looking at the entire array of who they are. I mean, God says, here's their origin, here's their nature. It's not going to change. They're radically evil. They oppose God radically. They oppose humanity radically. They definitely oppose Christ and the body of Christ radically. I mean, radically. This is, you know, the Bible calls it our enemy. So you have the origin, you have the nature, you have the methods that are used concerning us as a believer. Any believer that does not or ignores this issue, I guarantee will be a defeated believer, ineffective in their walk as a whole. You cannot do this without knowing you've been saved from the power of Satan. Yet, here's the big neglecting thing, and I've got thousands of books on doctrine and so forth over the years. I'm saying that I don't believe the church has been biblically educated well. I mean, we might know the origin of Satan, the nature, he's evil, the method, and then many times the issue is the body of Christ is ignored. Listen, I've been a pastor locally for years and years and years before launching out doing what we're doing now, and I'm telling you that the body of Christ on a church basis has been held back. I think part of it is sometimes, again, pastors, leaders, maybe afraid to tell, maybe because the culture dumbs it down, you know, the non-believing world wants to say it doesn't exist or makes fun of it. We can't allow that to temper the message. There is a vast, vast working, and there's an agenda. So the satanic agenda has Satan as a leader. You have fallen angels, the demonic side. They're even called by different names. We read in the English in Ephesians 6 that our battle, our struggle as a believer, is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. Well, the Greek, the biblical Greek, kosmokrator, arkes, exousia, porneus, pneumonikai. They are different in their types, like species of dogs, but they all have the same nature. And there's a massive agenda. They, again, globally, look at Ephesians 6, they come, they're in the Hieronos, they're in the air above us, they operate from just above to us down here. That's the biblical. If we don't know this, there's no other book's going to tell us this. That's part of the problem. You can read, you know, all the New Age books and all the other so-called stuff. That's that side masquerading. They're not going to expose themselves. So we've got to know Scripture that brings explicit, definitive, infallible definitive, I mean, just exposure, origin, nature, method, but also agenda. There is no end of days without them. There is no Antichrist, false prophet, opening the abyss, Armageddon. There's none of that without their presence manifesting as never before. So there's going to be more possession, more activity.
Do they multiply, Russ? Do they multiply? How do they multiply? Or is there a set number of them?
Yeah.
Like when they, you know, we know one third of the angels fell. Is that it? Is it just one, or are they multiplying?
No, I don't have any picture. We don't have any, that's just it. We don't have any biblical picture that they multiply, that they engage. Other than in the Old Testament, we have the B'nai Elohim, the fallen angels, Genesis 6, that's Bible. They come down. L.A. Marzulli is absolutely correct. Quayle is correct on all of, you know, they're all correct on this. It's been neglected doctrine. That's why there's ignorance.
That's right. We don't want to believe it because we haven't heard about it, right?
Exactly, exactly.
We think it's some new doctrine, some new thing.
Right, and so go to Numbers 13. There again is the Nephilim. That's what it says in Genesis 6. Fallen angels come down. They engage the women. They create Nephilim. Those are not humans. Those are hybrids. Those are demon, fallen angel, human mix. That's part of the reason for the flood. That's the reason that we have a flood, because it was so corrupt. And there were hundreds of years of their development. So then we come into, and then it says in Genesis 6, and then again later. There's no question, Numbers 13, we begin to see the Anakites, the Zamzumis, the Immims. Go through the Old Testament and relook at everything, and you're going to see Nephilim tribes. You're going to see Nephilim that are fighting Israel, they're coming against. Goliath was Nephilim-oriented. King Og was Nephilim. Now, here's an important aspect for L.A.'s sake and everybody's sake. More has been written on the Nephilim subject in the last 10 years than in all the history of the church, and that's a good issue.
Wow.
Here's why. When Jesus said in Matthew, as it was in the days of Noah, referring to Genesis 6, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming, you know, in the return of Christ.
Right.
Did he say, except for the Nephilim, which was one of the central issues for the flood? They were corrupting humanity. They were eating. I mean, do any kind of extra biblical study, let alone looking at scriptures, definitive look, you know, look at it. They were eating humanity. They were opposed to God. They were, again, mutants. You have, in the last 80 years or more, you have Aleister Crowley, one of the biggest occultists, trying to create a moonchild, half hybrid. You've got Jack Parsons, American rocket scientist in the Mojave Desert, doing a satanic ritual called the Babylon Working to create a hybrid being. You've got transhumanists that believe that the ancient gods of the sky, the demons, as we see it, are trying to cause humanity, science, and they're trying to lead humanity to create the godmen. You've got the Nazis. That's my field. The master race, anybody understanding the master race, they believe that they could backbreed, take an Aryan, and an occult version of the Aryan. They believe the Aryan was a godman, small g, a Nephilim. So if they could take Germans who were Aryan and make them mate, they could then have more of the DNA of the ancient godmen. And so you keep doing that backwards. Breeder, they believe they could backbreed and create godmen. Now here's this is vital. Himmler said that if we could create but 200 million of these godmen, master race, super soldiers, if we can do this, we can not only conquer the world, we can rule it for 1,000 years. That's what they were after. That came from spiritual revelation, demonic doctrine. That came from the writings of the demons inspired that guided them. That's modern day MK Ultra. That's modern day satanic ritual abuse. So on a global scale, listen, on a global scale, and I can argue this all day, there are now about 100 million ritually abused with the mentality that they're backbreeding. Whether we want to believe it or not, their goal is trying to make them some kind of super soldier, some kind of demonically empowered, weaponizing demonic powers. The king of Moab in Kings 3, that's what he did when he sacrificed a blood sacrifice of his own son for powers to weaponize his soldiers. And in that case, they defeated Israel based on the dark powers that came on them. So the scriptures is definitive. The Bible's definitive on this. Ignorance is no longer an excuse. And believers that mock are not only ignorant of Scripture and ignorant of spiritual warfare, they're ignorant of the prophetic. God has given prophecy. There's more in prophecy about what Satan's going to do in the end of days than there is on the rapture and the millennium put together. There's massive content concerning the sequence of satanic evolution, as I call it. That involves the coming of the Antichrist. That involves hundreds of millions in the future here being destroyed.
So, Ross, we heard you said the term 100 million. If we get thinking about that, see, we have a tendency in America to think only of America, right? We think Christianity, American Christianity. We don't realize there are 6 billion people in the world. I mean, whatever the numbers are, right? So when you say 100 million, that sounds like a whole bunch of people, but it ain't nothing when you get to the percentages of people. And so if we would assume, get outside of America now, right? What's going on in France and Italy? What's going on in Africa and what's going on in Asia? 100 million really isn't all that many, is it, Russ?
Well, no. And I mean, think in terms of the Antichrist coming and the 10 nations, like in Revelation 13, that's the Bible. And it talks about a beast system of 10 kings with the Antichrist, meaning political, military leaders worldwide. They can't come out onto the field of human history unless they've already been built in the shadows. No ability for the Antichrist to bring the chaos, to collapse everything, and to cause a new order to come. There's no ability without an army. Here's a neglected doctrine in Scripture, in prophecy. It already speaks of an end-time, satanic side, antichrist-oriented military system larger than all current military systems in the world right now. So the largest military, the most advanced military, the most demon-empowered military. Look at Revelation, just one verse that I'm going to do this coming weekend. One verse this weekend, I'm going to do a whole session on the ramifications of Revelation 19:19, that the beast, the Antichrist, gets on the field. The kings of the earth are all drawn in and around Jerusalem. And their armies, it says their armies, what are they going to do? They're going to raise their weapons into the sky. Do we understand the entire intent of this whole dark side? This is the culmination. Armageddon is the ultimate issue. Stop the descent of Christ, because in Revelation 20, Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. So the entire, that's why we read Revelation 12. Satan knows that his time is short, and he's filled with wrath. He's filled with this massive forensic wrath to get a job done. That's what it's all about. They got to get to Armageddon. They got to raise their weapons into the sky. And that means development of weapons, development of these soldiers, development of all this is going to take decades.
But let me throw that line out. Let me reel you back in a little bit. Because when you get gone, I'm not ashamed to say I'm not biblically as astute as you are in Revelation and all that stuff. And when you get gone on that, Russ, it's mesmerizing. It really is. Let me ask you a question. How is the devil messing in my own home? Because I can't do anything about the Armageddon. I think we need to know about it. I understand that. But Russ, I'm living my life right here in Newark, Ohio. How does this stuff, this demonic stuff, apply to me right here where I am? How do I recognize it? What do I do about it? Is it really here? Are you with me, Russ?
Yep. And we won't even get into satanic rituals where they summon demons and send them. We won't even get into that yet. Just look at biblical normal spiritual warfare. The Spirit of God says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that your enemy, it tells us, be sober-minded. The next word, gregoruo, be alert. The Spirit of God commands us that. It's a word, it's the Greek word gregoruo, meaning look for, by the Spirit of God's guidance and discernment, look for the impending danger. So we're to be spiritual, we're to be sober-minded, alert, because your enemy, the devil, is prowling, seeking someone to devour.
Mm.
That's God's warning to us. Now we've been born again by the power of the Spirit of God. We acknowledge the blood of the Lamb, that we are justified and saved. Christ lives in me. I can acknowledge 1 John 5, where we're told because of Jesus, He protects us from the evil one. The evil one, it says in 1 John 5, who's in control of the whole world. So he tempts us. There's think in terms of music, television, gaming, video stuff. There's stuff that's demonically oriented, inspired by the dark side, in all of those realms that get into our houses. And so we got to make sure that we are not, as believers, allowing anything, you know, just like there could be like a Alice Bailey or like a cult book or a satanic Bible inspired by demons.
Charged.
It's charged. We call it charge. There's a power behind that. So if you begin to read it and believe it, that opens the door for demons to come and begin to work in a person's life. So if you have that in your house, or lyrics from music can be just as demonically inspired. Rock and roll singers, drugged up, demon, you know, I can give you one example.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
There you go. Well, that, yes. And you got Slayer. They have an album South
of
Heaven.
All that stuff, right?
Right.
You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. All the subtle messages.
There's just a massive, and it poured in. And here's the issue. It poured in the 1960s. You know, the Cultural Revolution was a spiritual revolution in the 1960s that brought a great embedding. Here's what an occult historian said, Dave. An occult historian said the second largest proliferation of occult literature was unleashed in the 1960s in the United States of America. The first massive proliferation was pre-Nazi Germany.
Wow. So then Operation Paperclip, all that stuff came over. Is that kind of what got transferred over here?
There's no question. I just did this last night on live. There's no question about the spiritual massive impact and guidance that was given to the fallen, beaten down Germany. Nazi political ideology was spiritual revelation. So when Germany was defeated, where did all the demonized people go? Where did all the soldiers go? Where did all the, you know, they went, the rat lines, look at the rat lines. Everywhere they went around the world, guess what happens 30 years later? The rise of Satan, the rise of MK Ultra.
Wow.
That's where it comes from. But we got to understand again, from the biblical picture, it's plotted and planned. In my life, this morning, I have the Spirit of God. I have the authority. I can praise the Lord. I can get in the Word of God. And that's what we can realize that in Scripture, the book of 1 John alone tells us we have victory over the flesh issue. We have the victory over the fallen world. We have victory over the enemy. But that needs to be applied. And that means when we're on the street evangelizing, when we're going to do ministry this weekend, do we think for a moment Satan won't seek to cripple the program, or that he's not going to fight at all? There are probably believers that want to come, but maybe the enemies, look at in Thessalonians, Paul said, "I intended to come to you, but Satan stopped us."
Yes, it did. That's right.
The apostle says that. So, and temporarily, I mean, so there's battle. I mean, and I don't like the battle all the time, but I learned by having that authority, when I feel the enemy bringing oppression and lies and doubts coming to me, I don't just let it sit there. I have authority. Get out of here in the name of Jesus of Nazareth.
It is their full-time job, by the way, isn't it, Russ? I mean, I don't think the demons take time off to watch the Buckeyes or the Blue Jackets or the Indians. It is, in fact, their full-time job. Let me take you another spot, Russ, and I'm going to let some of the other guys jump in here a second. We've been hammering quite regularly here at public schools. Talk a second, Russ, about, for lack of a better term, transference of demons. Or, as my mom told me, you lay down with dogs and you get up with fleas. She really wasn't talking about fleas, Russ. She was talking about bad behavior ruins good morals. What are the dangers of being our children being around demon-possessed, demon-charged children?
Well, look. Here's two facts. 1990s, a book came out, and here's what it quoted. I quote from it all the time. The fastest-growing subgroup among white middle-class male students was Satanism. From 2001 to 2011, the fastest-growing subgroup among white middle-class girls was Wicca.
Mm.
So you've got parents, of course, unsaved, leaving the church, this whole development from the 60s and the New Age movement and all kinds of other things, there's all kinds of alternatives. So when you've got kids, you know, 20 years ago or 15 years ago and 10 years ago being raised in homes that have no spiritual, you know, discernment, nothing about God, parents, and New Age stuff is there, and some drugs are there, and so they open up to Wicca, and so they open up to Satanism, so they open up to some other form. And so if they get demonized, and we've dealt with this all along. I used to be in Youth for Christ. We used to go into the schools, thousands of students. That's where some of our first demon-possessed people that we engaged, in the schools. So can they carry, do they walk, does a demon stay outside the school because they don't want to mess up anybody else? No. They're in a person's life to bring influence to other kids. Kids invite kids to satanic little ritual things. Girls influence other girls with Wiccan things. I have a girl.
Go ahead.
At church, I'm a pastor on a Sunday morning. I look out and see a girl standing there frozen like she's a zombie. This is in a church service. The mom and dad brought her. So we gave an invitation, people came forward, people got saved, prayers, all that. She's still standing there like a zombie. So I'm looking at her, and I finally walked out there at the end and looked at her and said, I just looked at her face and I knew. I said, they don't want you to come forward, do they? And she shook her head, no. I said, they don't want you to talk to me, do they? And she shook her head, no. So all of a sudden I just began to pray in the name of Jesus. I just began to pray in the name of Jesus. The demons threw her to the ground. She hit the pews going down in between. The voice of a demon came out growling, and we commanded the demon to release her. Here's a girl, high school girl from an inner city school, that was going, kicking around with other kids, and she went to a shop where a witch was teaching them Wicca, doing spells and teaching them how to do stuff. She got possessed. We went to her house after she got delivered and Jesus set her free. We had three garbage bags full of books, amulets, objects, Wiccan materials, all of her stuff that she had accumulated, and would open the door more and more. Because when one demon gets in, they want to bring more. They want more and more.
Russ, here's what I want people to understand. When you send your child to a public school, you don't have any idea who they're hanging around with. And they don't have to be hanging around with people who are caught up in Wiccan. It doesn't have to be devil worshipers. But you don't know what those people are. The children, your children are hanging around with. You have no idea what they do when they go home, what's going on in their house, what they're watching, what they're reading, what they're... And so therefore, you could put your child in a public school with what seems to be a decent, normal, happy family, and it's really not a safe environment because you don't know what they bring with. It's like you would get out one of those ultraviolet lights. If you could get out the ultraviolet light and put it on all your children's friends, we might be shocked with what's attached to them.
And that's where, and you know what? That's where discernment comes in, where we, the Spirit of God is bigger than the demons. Greater is He who dwells in me than the Satan in the world. So if anybody's to be spiritually discerning and alive and understanding, we as believers have the advantage if we're walking in the power of Jesus. We should be, listen, when Jesus sent out the church and He said the gates of hell will not prevail, we've got to understand we're not on the run. If we're real believers, we're not on the run. So when it comes to that, we should be discerning, praying against that, praying for revival in the schools. Listen, there's still time to see thousands come to Christ. There's still time to see many people come to Jesus. Bottom line is, that's our great mission. And that's the greatest mission. That's the greatest aspect of spiritual warfare is evangelism.
Hey, Russell.
Look at the book of Acts. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm reading the chat. I'm jumping around. I'm going to let one of these guys jump in here in a minute. I'm going to bring a guy in here real quickly, Russ. David Arthur is going to be one of the speakers at the event. He lived 30 years as a woman. Yep. It's a fascinating story. You're going to love to hear it. Yep. But David, if you could just come in real quickly and talk about the demonic influences involved in that whole homo LGBT. Talk about that, David.
Well, just the pedophilia alone, which I'm sure Russ knows all about, is how they groom and recruit children from a very early age, how they suck them into that darkness, how the recruited becomes the recruiter, you know, and so on. But and then when they're done with them, they pass them around. They profit off of them. They dispose of them like garbage when they have no more use for them. You know, and then you get into all the Wiccan and the witchcraft and all that kind of crazy stuff. But it's just the pedophilia alone.
Russ, is homosexuality, gender dysphoria, all that, Russ, is that genetic? Is that environmental, or is that demonic? What's your take on that?
Well, listen, the bottom line, the sin nature, the core, the issue of the sin nature, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. The deeper people get into the sin nature, that core, that code within, every kind of thing can come out. And we're talking, listen, the rise of necrophilia, the rise of sex with demons, that Hollywood, I mean, the rise of sex with demons is off the charts, because they're involved in that. So when it comes, around pagan and Wicca and Wiccan circles and so forth, they're wide open. That's where many of those who've got into that world. So you get into that, many get into that world, and David knows this, because they were introduced to it. They were groomed into it. Like he said, they were brought into it. The truth is many older men, many times go after younger men. We saw that happen in school. I saw my friend got drawn in by the music teacher of the high school. Comes out later, he has parties at his house, and so he's in inducting these young guys into sexual acts. And my one friend got into the entire world of homosexuality because of it. And as David just said, the ones that are brought in by the predator, eventually, when you're in that lifestyle, when that lifestyle becomes deep and dark and addictive, and then even opens the door to the demonic side, they become the predators. So we have, the numbers of predators are off the charts. Look, do a little search in your area and just type it in Google, whatever, Bing, and say, look for your area. How many sexual predators are located in your area? Down the street, across the street, next street over. So are you going to let your kids walk to the, a mile down to the store like I used to?
Would you think, Russ, that's because of pornography? Do you think there's a strong demonic influence of pornography?
I would say demonic, but don't forget the multi-billion-dollar aspect of that. That is the most financed industry in the world. I mean, it's multi-billion-dollar industry. So many of them are just making millions and millions and millions. And so they have some of the most advanced technologies and so forth. And yes, I mean, there's no question about that. We got to understand sexuality created by God, a gift to us. It involves pleasure. It involves procreation. It involves a husband and wife chemically, spiritually becoming one, linking together, embedding. That's what the whole reason for waiting is all about, so that you can imprint into the one that you love, and you can imprint for life. Because the way sex works chemically and spiritually, it's the Hebrew word yada. When Adam knew his wife Eve, intimately. So there's a sexual. We're created for it, but it's exploited by the sin nature and by the enemy. There's no question. All kinds of dark, all dark occultism involves sexual rituals, sexual perversion, sexual everything. The demons love to transfer in it too. Get a demon possessed individual and they go out and start having sex with people. They can transfer demons into their partner. No question about that.
There's so much we don't know. I've been a Christian 30 years and I just shake my head of stuff that, somebody get ready to come in here with a question. I was having a conversation last night, Russ. I was a football coach. 30 some years, did sports all my life. And you know what the greatest mistake that we ever made, anybody ever playing any athletic competition, the greatest mistake that you will ever make is to underestimate your opponent. That is the fastest way to get your butt beat. Cavaliers got beat the other night because they weren't ready to play Indiana. They just walked through it, right? Mm-hmm. So, Russ, we underestimate our opponent. We underestimate him. We just think he wants to get us to do bad things, and he's after our health, and he's after our finances. We don't understand the global vision of the Prince of Darkness. And his goal is not just to get us, it's world domination, and he has to do that through the individual.
Exactly. And it's not that I'm worried for myself or you. We have, again, in Jesus, we have all the armament. We have all the superiority. We have him backing us. We have Psalm 91. And again, we're the aggressors. But the rest of the world are the losers. The rest of the world is they have no ability to discern, fight this off. They're being drawn in. And just like you mentioned in the era of coaching, don't you spy out the other team a little bit before the game? Don't you kind of want to know their playbook? And if you could know their playbook and what plays they're going to do and how they're going to do, who their fastest guy is, how they're going to do plays, if you could know that in advance to prepare your people, that's what biblical prophecy does.
Amen. Amen.
And so we insight. God gave us great insight.
We know how to stop the play, right? So that we know how to stop the play. But Russ, we don't even talk about it in church. We don't even know he's running plays, right? We don't get it. And so the manifestation grows because why? Nobody ever stops it because nobody knows what they're supposed to do. Somebody jump in here. Got a question for
us. Yes, Coach. Coach, yeah, brother. Dale. Absolutely. And first off, I appreciate his teaching. It's fantastic.
Dale from New Orleans. It's New Orleans.
And you know, the fact of the matter is, yes, we are not ignorant of his schemes. But we don't even know God's plan. That the problem is we don't know how to fight Satan because it's not taught how to teach and equip the saints to do the works of the ministry to understand that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells in us, and we are called to crush Satan underneath our feet. We don't have to go out and make a mockery of it. In Jude 1:9 and in Zechariah, it says this. It says, the Lord simply said, the Lord rebuke you. At the mention of his names, demons flee. And, brother, we don't even understand that. Like I told you before, I had a pastor call me up. Oh, I got a demon-possessed girl. I'm like, well, then cast it out. I've never done that. I don't know what to do. I said, and you're a pastor?
That's right.
And you're a pastor?
But I'd say that's probably crazy. More common than we understand, though, Dale, because the teaching on it. See, Russ, I think it goes back to charismania, right? I think the charismaniacs, they're aware of demons. But Christianity, when you get into that charismania, it seems to lose almost all meaning and all grounding, and it just kind of goes everywhere. And I think that what's happened is the average mainstream church points at the charismaniacs and says, oh, gee, we have got to avoid that. So therefore, they avoid that spiritual realm at all.
Right. They back off from everything, and that's the wrong thing to do. Well, here's what we got to do. We got to realize what's real. What's of the flesh, we need to get straightened out and clean that up. We need to make sure we get that, like the Corinthian church, they had to get cleaned up in the way they were working. You know, Christianity is literally, it's Jesus in us. There's Christ in us. There's integrity. There's living in obedience. Listen, look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I write to you young men because you are strong, means spiritual muscles, and you've overcome the evil one. Why? Because the word of God lives in you. So just the basics. So when I hear that, my friend, when a pastor doesn't know what to do, that is a evidence of mass dereliction of knowledge, dereliction of duty. Look at how the early believers were trained. Every one of them, every soul winner, every spirit-filled person in the book of Acts, they know how to do deliverance. Jesus taught it in Luke chapter 10. Everybody should be taught. I'm going to teach every 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old. If you teach believers powerfully, you know, what the Word of God says concerning the enemy, what our armament is, and what our armor is, and what our victories are, then you're going to begin sending out people that are just, they're not going to live in fear. They're going to live in the conscious power of God. Acts 9:22, like Paul, you'll get stronger and stronger, more competent. You know, I mean, the truth is, we should be as bold as a lion in the context of spiritual war.
Russ, 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil. In other words, Jesus came because the devil and his works are real, and that the church is the one who's supposed to be raising up the standard in this eternal battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. But unfortunately, the church, I don't blame anybody for it. Most pastors standing in their pulpits have had zero training on the whole idea of spiritual warfare, casting out devils, demon possession. No training at all. It's not that they're bad men. It's that they have not been trained.
You're right. Listen, I went to Moody Bible. I went to Mullen College. I went to Cumberland College. I went to schools. I'm in school stuff right now. I've never stopped studying, but let me tell you, Was anybody, when I was at Malone College, was anybody trained in spiritual warfare or how to deal with demons? No. Well, when I was at Moody Bible, who's supposed to be Bible, was anybody trained on this? Now, there was a good book called Angels, Elect and Evil by Fred Dickinson, a great theologian. That's a great training, too. But nobody was trained. Even there, nobody was trained how to do spiritual warfare practically for yourself, let alone do deliverance. So if the church is not at the cutting edge of this, it is an evidence, lack of discipleship, lack of putting the word into practice, whether it's willful avoidance or just dereliction. Let's repent of it. Let's renounce that and say, let's get the whole counsel of God. Let's take in all of the word of God. Let's forget what the world says. They're dying. Don't let the world define you and your ministry. God defines you and your ministry in Scripture. So you got to live that out, and you'll be powerful. And you know what? Deliverance, commanding demons off and out of individuals, that's a compassionate ministry. Look at Mark chapter 5. Look at the guy that couldn't get out. When people get demon-possessed, they can't get out on their own. It's the authority of Jesus. When you've got a billion New Agers worldwide, hundreds of, look at Mexico. Let me just mention Mexico quickly because I'm really burdened for Mexico. You've got almost 15 million Mexicans embracing and worshiping Santa Marte, the saint of death, what's called the white lady, the bony lady. That demon is a skeleton, the picture of it, a skeleton, you know, you've seen it, with a bride's dress they're wearing. In Mexico, the drug lords have made the saint of death their number one demon to sacrifice to. In the last 10 years alone, Mexico has had 164,000 deaths related to the drug wars and ritual sacrifice among and here's what nobody knows again. Who is the saint of death? An ancient Aztec demon goddess that requires human sacrifice. You've got 15 million people, grandmothers and their grandchildren. Anybody do a little study on Mexico? Look what they're doing. Possessed people. That's how you get possessed. That's how demons come into a body. Who's going to deliver thousands that are getting possessed and inviting demons in? Who's going to do that? So we need to tell the body of Christ, more possessed people than ever in history will be showing up. Get ready.
Russ, so here's another crazy thing they've done. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. My first experience with demonic things was The Exorcist. I was in college. I didn't know what it was, but it was weird, right? I get cold chills even thinking about it. Yeah. And here's what they've done to us, Russ. Through Hollywood, The Exorcist, who gets rid of the demon and the Exorcist? Why? The Catholic priest shows up, doesn't he? And if you hear somebody talking about satanic ritual abuse and all that stuff, who shows up on Fox News? Why, the Catholic priest shows up on Fox News. And what happens to us? We become convinced, okay, this stuff is real, but we got to get a Catholic priest in here to cleanse us, all of us, because my church isn't talking about it. Our pastor isn't talking about it. Maybe the Catholics are the answer. Now, I believe, Russ, that's more than deception. I think there's something seriously at work there.
Sure, because in the movies, they've got to show something like religious. And notice when they do that, whether it's The Exorcist or other many other movies like that, where they bring in a cat, even like Ghost Hunting, they bring in a Catholic priest, joined with a psychic. And they can't get rid of it. Many times they see, in a lot of the movies that we look at purposely, we study them. You see the demons are so powerful, they look at the Catholic priest gets blown out of the water, blown out of the window in that episode. In Catholicism, let alone the whole fuzzy issue doctrine and clarity on salvation and all the rest, the largest religious institution in the world, look in the last 15 years of the mass thousands and thousands of numbers of kids that were sexually abused, pedophilia and so forth, but when nobody's acknowledging. Because when you go to court, they don't want to bring Satan, they want to bring the sexual abuse in. But a lot of that was satanic ritual abuse within the Catholic system. The Vatican is, they're like panicked because there's so many demonized people. They want to create more exorcists. And it's not, listen, when you just sit around reading a book, you can put robes on, you can do, smoke all you want to, you can read a book.
Holy water.
Yeah, you can throw holy. It just makes them mad. It just makes them mad. You, if you're reading a book to them or a ritual, you know, ritual book or something, all it does is give the demon time. Look again to Jesus. How did he do this? He says, I have given you authority to tread, to tear up, to rip up, you know, the dark side, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Look how they did that. They just spoke with authority, ordered the demonic. They dealt with it clearly. When you put all other garbage involved, you distract from the authority. You have been given authority to trample, tread upon the demonic realm, and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
Wow.
Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, that's the context. He's training disciples how to go out, engaging demons, commanding them out. They came back and acknowledged that. So every believer can simply go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19, look at the whole context. Lord Jesus, I accept the authority you've given to me.
Wow.
I accept the mission. I'll use it in my own life to clear the air and to be strong. But I'm also in, you know, Lord, if there's any demonized people, because who else is going to get them out? We're sent to get them out. In evangelism is the center, healing and deliverance, putting shoes on their feet, giving them food to eat. That's all also included. We need to help them in every way, and discipling them and baptizing them. That's all there.
The revival that would break out if the average Christian became knowledgeable and equipped and just merely taking spiritual authority where he walked, where he lived, the outgrowth of that would be something to see. Somebody got a question for us? We've got about 7 minutes left. Jump in here.
This is Chad.
Hey, Chad.
Russ, I wanted to ask you, I sat next to you there at the conference when the Henry Gruber was talking. But anyway, I got one of your workbooks finally. And my question is that when we're starting to cast it out, see, I guess I'm wanting to know is, okay, first I start out by listening to you and also John Kyle. Mm-hmm. Bound the person, and in the name of Jesus, you begin casting out the demons. Is that kind of the process, like a step-by-step process?
Yeah, in a real sense, yeah. And I mean, just spiritually as you discern and if there's something there. But the bottom line is you've been given authority that's over them. No matter what they say, you have authority. Jesus gave you authority over them.
They understand authority. Yeah. They understand it.
So you order them. And there's times demons like, I'm not coming out. You know, pretty soon there's going to be times demons speak. I'll get your family. Shut up. In the name of Jesus, shut up. You know, in the name of Jesus, you order them specifically until you get them completely out. Usually there's more than one. Make sure you get all of them out. Then a person to repent of the ways they open doors, to turn their life over to Jesus completely, and to be filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, there's a simple picture of this in Scripture, and they did it. When you go to the book of Acts, that's how Philip did it. That's how Paul did it, just the same way Jesus taught it. That's how you do that. And so when you have individuals, you think they've got something, and just sometimes there's oppression that can be gotten rid of. Sometimes there's full-blown possession. Either way, it's authority. You have authority, and you order them, and you command them in Jesus' name to get out. You get a person to repent of the ways they've allowed it in to make sure they close the doors. We're commanded, don't give the devil a door. Don't give him a foothold. Don't open a door, Ephesians 4. So that's
Russ, I read my emails. I get emails as you do. And people say, listen, I have got to get to Akron to that event. I've got to get Russ Dizdar to pray over me. Now, God bless you, Russ. But you know, the sadness in my heart is, why ain't nothing special about Russ Dizdar other than you know and you appropriate the power that's been given to you. And I know you, Russ, and I know your heart. Is you want to train other people to do the same thing because you can't take them all on yourself, right?
No, and here's the thing. You know, for 35 years, we've been used to that issue because, like in Akron, where I live in Akron, 55 other churches sent us demonized people. Our offices were packed. You know, we're making, you know, you never charge, you know, people out there charging people for extra. That's stupid. You never charge anybody. But listen, at the conferences, yeah, there's times we've spent up to 5 hours, people standing in line for prayer. Now, I'll do that because I love people. That's ministry. I'm a little bit still bugged that that the rest of, you know, that the leadership and others are not, and even Bible schools are not teaching this as a main part of what we're supposed to know. And I'll do that here, but here's what I tell everybody. I have no more authority than anybody else. I don't care if you're 18 years old or 80 as a believer in Jesus. You have the exact same authority. Now, just like soul winning, though, when you use that over and over and over, you begin to get a sense of how it works. You learn by doing
it. That's right. Like swinging a hammer, you learn how to do it. You learn how to put a roof on a house. See, yeah. So I'm thinking like when we were in Dallas, and I know it's going to be the same way when we're in Akron. When you get through speaking, the line's going to be, there's going to be 30 people standing in line. And I want to go over there and say, hey, listen, I'll pray for you. For us, they don't want me to pray for you, right? They want you to do it.
Yeah, and that's that. I understand that. I'm bringing a few of my staff members that can all do this. You stand over and do this. I want to maybe I'll mention too. Any believer that knows their authority, stand up and pray for the people around you. Maybe we need to do that. Maybe we need to commission people to really accept their authority and begin to do this. And yes, the first few times it's kind of bizarre when a demon is looking through somebody else and they're speaking to you. It is kind of weird. Sir.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
But when you exercise authority, and we had to learn the hard way, I learned that I don't have to let a demon make a person throw up on me. Sometimes they'll do things, throw them to the ground, do all kinds of crazy things. I don't like people when they throw up. I mean, I had to leave the room. I'll throw back up on them.
Russ, to interject, you know, the demons also love that attention. They love to draw a crowd because when they're casted out, they're looking for a place to go into.
Yeah.
And so they give that theatrical view. I always struggle also with the fact is reminding these people that's just the beginning. If you don't fill your heart and begin filled with the Holy Spirit and the teachings and the proper guidance, that devil's coming back to you.
That dude is coming back.
You're right. You're right.
Russ, we just got a couple minutes here what would be your words of advice right now, Russ, to people who are out there watching, can't get to Akron, can't get to you? I've tried to get a hold of Dizendar. He never returns calls. You here, right? Like you're the only one calling him. You're the only one emailing him. What would be a word of encouragement that you could say to people right now, Russ, that they're struggling with their children, they're struggling with it personally. They know this demonic force is there, but they can't seem to get out from under it.
Number one, Jesus is right where you are. He's right there. He is there. Take a deep read of Psalm 91. He is there. Bottom line, he is the ultimate one to lead you, guide you. But if you want some teaching, you don't know where to get it, on our website, I have over 1,000 hours of teaching, training. It's all free. It's all free for anybody. Teaching on warfare, teaching how to do this, teaching for your own self. It's all there. So the good news is, the Spirit of God in you, Christ in you, you can grow and grow, grow fast. What we need to do now is recognize how we haven't been. It's not good enough to sit around and moan, well, they didn't do that. Well, stop. Shut up for a moment. Now stand up and get everything you can. Don't wait for anybody else. If nobody else wants to do it, if your church isn't going to do it, you can still grow. Get up. Get in the Word. Study systematically. Take that training free. Again, courses that are college level and Bible school level. What I would teach there is all online, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours.
ShatterTheDarkness.net. ShatterTheDarkness.net. There's more stuff there, folks, than you all that you'll ever be able to consume. ShatterTheDarkness.net. Don't forget this. He gave us the power to tread on scorpions, on serpents, on all of the power of the enemy. That is the rightful authority of any born-again, right, Spirit-filled Bible believer. That is our authority, and we just haven't been trained in it, and we have to learn to walk in it. If you can't join us in Akron this weekend, find the information, CoachDaveLive.com. God bless you, Russ. This could go on for hours and hours and hours. You're a real blessing, and
thank you,
folks, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Amen, bro.